a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from Circa Casino and Resort for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
With a jet stream out to left field. Stan, a little tapper to the mound. Oh, Valdez dropped it. Now throws wildly to first. And it gets away from Gurriel. Judge thinking about scoring. He'll be held up at third. Framber Valdez with a throwing error. And quickly, the Yankees in business now in this fourth inning.
Not going to lie. That moment had me concerned. Very, very concerned going forward. But I want to pause. Because I believe that this was the point in the broadcast where I was watching it on the plane last night on our way to Vegas. We were at Circa Resort and Casino. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mayes hanging out with me, too, right here in Vegas. There was a moment where my little video cut out, and I didn't hear that call on the broadcast. Did you not just hear the TBS broadcaster say, there is a jet stream out to right field? Yankees. Maybe take advantage of it.
Oh, we don't like playing in the elements, even though, you know, the rain delay allowed us to pitch Nestor Cortes in Game 5.
God, they are the absolute worst. But anyway, that moment with Framber Valdez did have me a little bit concerned. If you've read some of the pieces that have been written about Framber Valdez over the last couple of weeks, you would see that there have been a couple of pieces that highlight how he had to hire, essentially, a mental coach, doctor of sorts, to help him work through moments that could potentially escalate, that could turn into, I don't know, things that run him out of a baseball game. Because we saw a couple of those in the playoffs last year. And that moment right there, couldn't you imagine yourself, if you were in Framber Valdez's shoes, after first off, biffing the ball that came right to you, then falling down and throwing the ball away, getting mad at yourself, getting down on yourself? Personally, I know if I were in that spot, I 100% would. I don't handle stuff like that well. I would be so angry at myself. And I don't know how I would be able to get past it. I have moments like this that happen on a regular basis where I'll make a small little mistake and I'll get so pissed at myself. Framber, luckily, though, has talked to somebody over the last couple of years who has helped him get to a point where now this doesn't make him spiral anymore. And he was able to work through it. And, I mean, you take a look at his numbers. They were damn good. 7 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, just 4 hits, 2 runs, both of them unearned, 101 pitches, 73 of them strikes. I feel great about Valdez going forward. And I feel like because he was able to handle that moment in particular as well as he did, and of course the Yankees did score 2 runs in that 4th inning because of the error that he made, but he shook it off. I mean, he pitched through that, got a couple of strikeouts, he looked damn good. Here is Dusty Baker talking about Framber Valdez and his mentality after the Astros 4-2 victory last night.
I mean, he was great. You don't see him throwing 95 consistently like that. And then he found his breaking ball in the middle innings. And, you know, he was changing speeds on his breaking ball. He was outstanding. And, you know, you always worry about a young player being able to shake off something like that. But Maldi, the guys on the team, you know, they told him, hey, forget it. And, you know, you still got the lead, go out and pitch, and, you know, he might have shut him out had he not, you know, had his own miscues.
He has gotten a lot better in that spot, and I think that's something to be excited about. I wasn't sold that last year's postseason was in the past after what we saw from Framber against the Mariners. I think, pretty damn close to 100% sold on the fact that he has passed whatever was going on last year. And that's huge to have because you have a great bullpen. You got a lot of arms. But if you find yourself in a spot where you do not have to turn to that bullpen very early in a game, man, you're in great shape. Alex Bregman talked about a mound visit that took place in that inning with Framber Valdez and what was said in that moment?
When we got to the mound, Framber was just ready to continue compete. We just said, let's not let this be a big inning. Let's just continue to execute pitches and do exactly what you do. And every time he takes the mound, we have a lot of confidence in him. And he competed. He competed all night. And was just super, super happy for him and how he pitched. And he did a great job.
Yes, he did. Gerrit Cole had some interesting thoughts on Framber Valdez after the game. Gerrit Cole with a microphone in front of him, it is interesting. Maybe it's sort of like me. Someone texted in 713-780-3776 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I just realized that Paulie G reminds me of the hype commentary guy on the TV show Wipeout. Talks really fast and hyper and always seems to have about two levels of excitement higher than the moment probably needs. LOL, Jasper. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I don't have a comeback for that one. It's all the caffeine. No, I don't do those other things. Oh, Paul's in Vegas. Shut up. You don't know me. You don't know what I'm about. I'm straight edge. Anyway, here is Gerrit Cole talking about Framber Valdez's mound presence.
His mound presence has always been a bit whimsical, and I still think it is. That's who he is. I feel that it's hard. The numbers speak for themselves. Obviously, there's been a lot of improvement. It's hard for me to answer that question specifically because I haven't seen him pitch quite as much as you guys were, or enough to really answer that question thoroughly. But certainly, the body of work speaks for itself, and he trusts his teammates, trusts his defense, and continues to make pitches in big spots. I mean, that's certainly what he did tonight. So
whimsical. Imagine describing someone's mound presence as whimsical. What does that mean? Is that the kind of stuff that would have some people? I mean, I hear the word whimsical, and to be honest, Sean Mapes, like, that's one of the things that I feel like is a trait of mine and why perhaps some people think that I may or may not, lean another way, persuasion-wise, because I'm so whimsical.
Whimsical, I think of like a medieval jester or something, and that's not from Valdez.
Is not really, no. I think of, when I think of whimsical, Sean Mapes, I think of musicals.
Yeah, it's in the same
I'm barrier. Singing here in Circle, Las Vegas, that's what I think about.
Yeah, I don't mean to call Gerrit Cole's vocabulary aptitude into question, but does he know what whimsical means?
No, I don't
He didn't
so.
Really describe anything whimsical.
You're so right. I don't know what he was talking about there. What do we got here? We got some comments on the text line. We also got some comments on the Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Then Fuentes Respector says, Framber Valdez fielding has JaVale McGee energy. That's so true. Good God.
It is. Gerrit Cole in front of a microphone and Framber Valdez fielding are both like, it could go either way.
Yeah.
It's epic disaster or like a solid play.
What a disaster that was. Seriously. What other comments do we have here on the Twitch? Twitch.tv/ESPN975. People are asking if Paul is straight-edged. Yeah. I've never done anything in my life. Okay? Dare loves me. What?
Yeah,
why are you laughing?
Yeah.
Why are you
Dare
laughing?
Loves me.
Yeah. That's true. Like, I'm here. I'm like, Scruff McGruff, Dare. My guys.
You're Dare approved.
Dare approved. Also, shout out to E315 bringing up Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. That is one of my favorite shows ever. All right, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Circa Resort and Casino. We have a cabana. We are by the pool. We have the big TVs in front of us. We're going to talk all about Circa Resort and Casino with Mike Palm in just a moment. And, of course, you got to hear the Alex Bregman home run one more time. Don't go anywhere. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Circa Casino and Resort for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
He's got two on at the corners here in the third. And Bregman sends one deep to left. It is back and it is gone. A three-run poke. Alex Bregman puts the Stros on the board in the third inning.
Yeah.
They take a 2-0 series lead in the American League Championship Series, and I'm joined right now by the Vice President of Operations for Circa Resort and Casino, one of the most powerful men in Vegas, It is the one and only Mike Palm. Mike, good to see you again, man. How you doing?
Paul, how are you? Weather a little bit nicer than your last trip. Was about 40 degrees cooler?
You know what, Mike? Anything that is not Houston when it comes to weather, we all like it, especially in the summer. Because, I mean, we come here, you know, it's the desert. It's hot during the summer. But, my God, I mean, Houston weather during the summer, it is brutal. This is very pleasant right now.
Yeah. Framber Valdez, terrific last night. I mean, if he doesn't slip, he might go 8 last night. I couldn't believe his outs prop was 15.5. I mean, the guy had 25 consecutive quality starts. So, I mean, that's 18. Why wouldn't it be 18.5? But anyhow, I have a big ticket on him at 100-1 preseason for Cy Young. But
you
I think your boy Verlander is going to steal it from
Man, those are the odds, 100-1
going
into the year.
100-1, and then remember he goes 6 and doesn't give up a run to the Angels on opening night, and it went 50-1 right after that. And then it kind of drifted up. He lost to the Diamondbacks in a second start. But, wow, to put together, I mean, it's a major league record, 25 consecutive quality starts. Although I'd argue that in today's era it should change. 6 innings, 2 runs, or 7 innings, 3 runs. I think 6 innings, 3 runs is not really a quality start anymore.
Yeah, you know what, too? You take a look at just how pitchers don't go very deep in games. Maybe that's why they have it at 6 innings now, just because like it seems that you're never going to see that many workhorse pitchers in the future. A lot of guys getting pulled out in the 5th inning.
He led the American League in innings. Of course, Sandy Alcantara led the National League. I think that counts for a lot in voting, or it should. Because, as our friend Josh Towers, former major league pitcher, always says, who cares if you give me 5 good innings? If you tax that bullpen every day, you're never going to win a pennant.
We're at the Circa Resort and Casino right now with Mike Palm. Mike, neutral observer of last night's Astros and Yankees game. The Yankees have done a lot of complaining about the weather that was at Minute Maid Park last night. And you could see it on the broadcast. There was a lot of wind going on. We here in Houston are tired of hearing the Yankees complaining about the Astros cheating, complaining about the weather. But you, neutral observer, what did you make of it? Because it could have affected the game last night.
Well, I don't know why Houston wanted to. Does Houston have the right to make that decision?
It's baseball actually told them to keep the roof open.
I would say they don't want. They're 1-3 in games with the roof open. The Astros didn't want the roof open. Right? I mean, when I saw that, I said that the home team should have control. But anyhow, I mean, he almost misjudged a fly ball in center field off Judge right off the bat.
That's
they're not
right.
used to playing with the roof open. They have a lot of excuses. The exit velo, they're all complaining about Verlander getting corner pitches. The guy's going to be a 4-time Cy Younger and a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you want somebody named Schmidt to get those calls. Stop crying, hit the ball, or go home.
I knew I liked you, Mike. Good job. Everyone in Houston likes you now, too. He's on Twitter, by the way, at Mike Palm. Mike, so... we, of course, have a lot of football going on this weekend. We are here for Houston as a game against Vegas. It's kind of a toilet bowl. So, I mean, it's not exactly the most ideal game to take a look at. But do you got any plays for us? Because we were talking just a moment ago about the NFC and how it's really wide open. We saw the Saints and the Cardinals play each other last night. What are you thinking from a plays perspective?
I you know, it's a big game for the Raiders here, though. They got to get the ship righted. They kind of blew that game in Kansas City that they had control of early. The NFC's wide open. I just think the teams in the Bills and the Chiefs are both better than anything Philadelphia, Minnesota, San Francisco that's going to come out of the NFC. And there might be some value in betting the Super Bowl prop right now, AFC minus 2.5. Because, you know, if you get like a Bills 49ers matchup or a Bills Vikings, that number could be closer to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So you could get some value there in laying those points. I'm going to tell you, I was prepared to bet the Chiefs this weekend, coming off the loss, laying 2.5, and now McCaffrey's headed there. How much, you know, can he get into the playbook? I don't know. But does that rally the 49ers? Like, you know, we're all in, and we're going for it this year, even though our, you know, future Hall of Famer Trey Lance is out. You know, does that rally it? So I'll probably have to back off of that game.
It's interesting that they made that trade yesterday. So they send a 2nd, a 3rd, and a 4th in next year's draft. They already don't have a 1st because, as you mentioned, they traded for Trey Lance, which that trade looks so bad right now. They even traded a 5th-round pick in 2024. What do you think Christian McCaffrey is actually going to do for San Francisco? Because to me, and as someone who was working in Seattle not too long ago, I was laughing seeing all the responses from my Seattle fan friends who are all saying, oh, this is a desperate move by the San Francisco 49ers. Now, they're biased. They hate the 49ers. It does seem a little desperate, though.
I don't know. It gives them – did they give up
– 4 draft picks.
I don't know. The draft's a crapshoot to me.
I agree with you on that.
I just think that there's – we overvalue draft picks.
Especially first-round picks.
Especially first-round. Especially top 10 picks. We really overvalue them. He gives you more flexibility in catching the ball out of the backfield, I think. And you know – Garoppolo's a game manager, right? I think he's a little better than Trent Dilfer. I'm not saying he's as tough as Trent Dilfer, but you're going to win the games with that defense and him not making mistakes. Now, if you get down two scores, you're going to be in trouble like they did in Atlanta. But he gives him a little more flexibility. I think McCaffrey might have had value in a lot of other spots, more value than where he goes with San Francisco. But I'll give you this. Shanahan's incredibly creative in the running game. How about this for just a thought? Any chance with Bailey Zappi playing as well as he is in New England that somehow Shanahan can go and get the quarterback he actually wanted to draft in Mac Jones? I mean, that's who he wanted to draft. And he wouldn't have had to go up to three. I'll tell you that right now.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? They wouldn't have had to make that trade. So I have that in the back of my mind. He always wanted Mac Jones, and Zappi's playing really well.
He really has been. I mean, I've been excited about that watching, but I keep on telling myself, hey, don't get too excited. Like, I always try to moderate how up I get on a team. Yeah. I went to Syracuse. Syracuse is playing Clemson tomorrow, which I plan on watching out here at the pool. And I'm like, Clemson's going to kill us. And the same thing with Bailey Zappi under center. I'm like, okay, this is eventually going to turn back into a pumpkin, because I do think Mac Jones is the better player. You're right, though. Like, if I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had any picks left, that they would definitely think about trading for Mac Jones.
I think is the bloom off the rose of Mac Jones a little bit? Is he rubbing people in the organization the wrong way in New England right now?
Yeah, there have been some stories that got put out there. One of them actually was leaked by a Boston Globe reporter, and it turns out that some person who follows the website Barstool Sports sent a fake report about how Mac Jones is having issues. So the Boston Globe put that out as an article.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, wasn't a great look for them. So an interesting storyline for the Houston Texans going forward, and there aren't very many of them, but I know that they're going into the year for some sports books that Dameon Pierce as Rookie of the Year was towards the top. I think he was like plus 900, plus 1,000 or something like that. Where do you see him in the Rookie of the Year race in the NFL?
I would have to check if we've reposted him, though. I think he's probably – his odds are higher right now.
Definitely.
Than 9-1, because you've had some kids stand out early here. I'm trying to find a highlight to talk about the Texans.
I know. There's none. It's depressing. I mean, we've stayed away from the Texans entirely with the Astros in this series altogether, and it's been very therapeutic for me, who used to work at the Texans flagship station across town. I cannot even imagine what it would be like today. Like, oh, woohoo, Texans and Raiders, you know? But it is an exciting game to see at the black hole that we now have here.
This is
Vegas.
Amazing. So I had not been to Allegiant, but went for Notre Dame and BYU.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really comfortable stadium, and the atmosphere for that. Now, I went with Brent Musburger, so he invited me, and we used his season ticket.
No way!
We're right on the 45. The atmosphere at that game would be like a New Year's Day bowl game, though. That college atmosphere, he said it's louder than when the Raiders play in here, and I was really impressed by the BYU fans. Now, I wasn't impressed by either team and played against them last week easily with Arkansas and Stanford covered those numbers. But what's you won't know this when you go to on Sunday, but you know the Raiders play on real grass. They have their own grass.
Interesting.
That they keep outside and grow and all this and maintain, and then they wheel it in for the game. But they play on real grass in a dome. Colleges are not allowed to play on the Raiders' grass. The college field is actually in turf is 8 feet lower than what the Raiders play on, because it's an 8 foot tall thing that they wheel this grass in on. So because I walked out on the field and I said, "Geez, it seems set down low, Brent." He goes, "Oh yeah. 8 feet higher is going to be where the Raiders' feet are at."
That's
pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
I think the Tech is crazy, too. You know, the Texans used to do this thing at their stadium where they had pallet grass, and players kept on stepping in between the pallets, and they kept on getting hurt. And eventually someone was like, let's stop this. Because I think it was Jadeveon Clowney stepped in it, and there's this player in the Texans who was like, yeah, he stepped in the middle of the divots. And then they changed it like 2 weeks later to actual turf. So, look, Circa Resort and Casino is fantastic. I've been here every single time that I've been to Vegas over the last 2 years, which is now 4 times. I love it here. But for all the people who aren't sitting out poolside with us at a cabana looking at the beautiful views, the massive TV out there, please explain Circa to the people who are missing out.
Wow. Well, I mean, you can't get any better than right now. It's the quiet before the storm this weekend, and it'll be packed out here this afternoon for the Padres game, obviously.
Yeah.
And our sponsorship with San Diego looks like a great deal that Derek hooked up with last year, and now this run possibly to the World Series to meet your Astros. But, I mean, the viewing experience, we have the world's largest sports book inside. I mean, 3 stories tall, and it's a thing of its own. But then out here in this atmosphere, and this afternoon with the girls in the pool, and you're able to sit here and actually be in the pool drinking a beer and watching all the games on this huge screen. I mean, it's concert-quality audio here, because this was actually set up with the thought of we would do concerts out here.
I can see it.
You know, we did the Canelo fight out here, and it was fire department capacity, and it's such a cool scene at night when the sun goes down. But we're really proud of the resort. Great restaurants, Barry's Steakhouse.
Went there last time. It was great.
24-hour deli in Saginaw.
Saginaw's is awesome too.
8 East is one of the most popular places. Highly rated Asian fusion. Victory Burger with wings and burgers right above the book. So we're really proud of what's happened, and it's really experiential for people to come here. I mean, it's not just for the people staying in the hotel, but really built for the people staying on the Strip to come down and experience a day or an evening here.
It is fantastic, Mike. Mike Palm, he is the Vice President of Operations for Circa Resort and Casino, and he's giving us some plays along the way, too. Mike, thank you so much. We're so excited to be here this weekend to watch some baseball, to watch some football, and hopefully we'll be able to come back here again. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
He is Mike Palm, everybody. He's on Twitter, too. He's got some takes. So if you want to follow him, you can find him out there. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. More Astros reaction after their 3-2 victory over the Yankees last night. Plus, some interesting comments from the Texans this week that I did want to dive into at some point this week. Don't go anywhere. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from Circa Resort and Casino.
Is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Circa Casino and Resort for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
Got him!
Very simple call. That's all you need. Brian Abreu mowing down Giancarlo Stanton in the eighth inning to get the Astros out of what was the most tense point of last night. I know that inning where Framber Valdez, kind of crapped himself. That was a little bit concerning. But the eighth, where you got Aaron Judge almost hitting a home run, but thanks to the Astros' geostorm system, it did not leave the ballpark. And then that at bat as well. But they're able to get out. Abreu's throwing like close to 100 miles per hour. 713-780-3776 is how you call and it's how you text into. There's been a lot of excuses made by the Yankees. We will play them before we hit the road in the 11:45 segment. Chad wants to join the show. Chad at 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, man, when does it ever end? Are you freaking kidding me? The weather conditions? Are we not playing both teams in the same conditions?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's no advantage or disadvantage to either team.
You're right.
You play the game. That's it. It is simple. Get over it and beat us.
You're right. Sorry, John. I stepped over you a couple of times there. I think what's ironic about it is that the Yankees literally were gifted weather. Issues in weather. A rain delay that allowed them to pitch Nestor Cortez in Game 5 against the Cleveland Guardians. It was handed to them. And they are talking about the weather in last night's game. It affects both teams. Let's not act like just because of one moment where Aaron Judge hit a line drive that would have been a home run in only Yankee Stadium based off of that trajectory. But it was hit so hard, I don't think the wind, honestly, could have affected it that much. It was a low hit, too. It's not like the thing was high up in the air or something like that. Like some of those crazy fly balls that we saw fielders for the Astros and Yankees struggling to catch. It wasn't like that. What we saw was a line drive hit. He crushed it, that's for sure. But let's talk about some of the other big hits in last night's game as far as exit velocity and all those nerdy statistics that I typically don't get into. Luke Arkins is a guy who writes about baseball for Prospect Insider. I think he is very sharp when it comes to that. Yuli Gurriel hit a single with an exit velocity of 110 miles per hour. Jose Altuve grounded into a double play. He hit that 106 miles per hour. Talk about some of the flyouts that were in this game. For the most part, the Astros had them, but Jeremy Pena, he lines out with a 99.2 exit velocity. there were some very hard hit balls last night. Alex Bregman is one of the ones that wasn't hit particularly hard. But if you pull a ball that is thrown inside on you and you get the right launch angle, at Minute Maid Park, that's what's going to happen. Much like if you throw a ball outside at Yankee Stadium and you hang it against someone like Aaron Judge, or maybe you throw it inside to Yordan Alvarez, they would club that thing into the upper deck of right field. Like, that's how it works. Bringing up the weather is lame. Excuses have become okay in New York. George Steinbrenner would be rolling in his grave right now. 100%. 713-780-3776 is how you can call and you can text in, too. We've got Dave. Dave, what's going on?
What's up, Paul? Love the show, man.
Thank you.
Man, I love your energy, man. You got it going on. You're always singing, brother.
Yes. Well, are you going to sing? I feel like you should sing for me, yeah. And then I'll sing for you.
Well, here's the deal. I called in yesterday, and I crashed and burned, man.
I remember, but you were driving and singing. It's okay. We are a safe space. You can sing here. Hopefully you're not driving. What you got?
Yeah, so I wrote it down, so I'm good to go now. All right, so we're talking about Jeremy Pena, Rookie of the Year. So anyway, Jeremy Pena. All right, so here we go.
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
All right, so here we go. Jeremy Pena. Rookie of the Year. Don't know if you saw his walk-off. He makes a great shortstop, so let's root for the Astros. Another rookie star. For it's one, two, and a whole lot more at the old ball game.
I like it, Dave.
Here we go.
I feel like you got some good pipes there. That was a quality song about Jeremy Pena. He's hitting hits today. And appreciate Dave for the phone call there. 713-780-3776 is how you call and it's how you text in too. I think we do have some news as far as who the Astros are starting in Game 3. I'm seeing it on the Twitch chat, so I'll look to confirm that in our next segment. But it does seem like it might be Christian Javier on the hill in Game 3 and not Lance McCullers. We appreciate Dave with the song. I wanted to squeeze this Texans out because we are here in Vegas for the Texans game against the Las Vegas Raiders here at the Circa Resort and Casino. I'm very excited to go to that stadium. It is beautiful on the outside. I can't wait to see the interior of it. Derek Carr had this to say about growing up in Houston as a Texans fan, now the quarterback of the Raiders.
With Houston.
Yeah.
What kind of reaction do you get when you see that Texans logo?
Man, you know what? I have so many memories. I was like one of their first fans ever, you know. And so many memories in what was Reliant Stadium. Was it NRG now? Or did they change? Who knows? Okay, all right. Reliant Stadium. You know, I have so many memories there. I played on the field, you know, in the little mascot game, you know, as a kid. So many memories watching my brother play there, and you know friends people who became Andre Johnson, and you know all these guys, you know, and watching them play, and like I said, so many memories. But then I think about, you know, all the offensive linemen they didn't pick, you know. So then I'm like, I get a little mad. So I do think about it. But I've always loved that organization.
Do we like David Carr? Serious question. It's been a while, right? I heard that from Derek Carr yesterday, and it's such ancient news. I remember hearing that David Carr didn't exactly have the best work ethic and that might have dripped down to the rest of the team. As you heard from Derek there, definitely didn't have the best offensive line. Tony Boselli didn't work out when, of course, they drafted him in the expansion draft. It's a guy who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer someday, too, which is kind of crazy. But how do we feel about David Carr? I know it's been a million years, and obviously the Astros, they took a 2-0 series lead on the New York Yankees. But I'm fascinated by that because no one ever talks about him. This was supposed to be the franchise. We were talking with some of our friends who won the actual trip here to Circa Resort and Casino, and they thought about bringing a David Carr throwback jersey. It's funny to call it a throwback jersey because it's like the Reebok era of jerseys. But I am curious as to how people feel about David Carr. Battery chucker on the Twitch. Damn, this is pretty violent. David was a true professional. Last to arrive, first to leave. Hell yeah. Well, you know what? You get paid those contracts as a rookie. Maybe it's a little bit difficult. We also heard from a couple of people on one Jack Easterby. First off, here is Lovie Smith talking about Easterby now removed from the program. And he had an interesting thought that I actually do agree with.
as I say it then, my short time I worked with Jack, I mean, it was all good. He did a great job, you know, for us. But, you know, sometimes divorce is a good thing. I've said that before, too. And as far as how we're moving, that's what we're doing. We're moving forward. We have enough people, you know, of course, in place to be able to, you know, pick up and keep going.
Divorce is sometimes a good thing. Listen, you know, I'm not exactly the most pious person out there, even though I am straight edge. Just kidding. Divorce can be a good thing. It's weird. It's definitely affected my life growing up, but my parents getting away from each other. I think they're both happy now. I have a couple of friends. They were married not very long. I think they're happy now that they're not. Just saying. I'm just saying. I'm not encouraging it. You know, I'm not trying to pry relationships apart. All I'm saying is, you know, there's a reason I'm a commitment phobe. Forever's hard. So you don't have to go forever if it ain't working out. Unless you have kids. Then it gets a little bit awkward. So here is the news about the Astros starter for Game 3. For Dusty Baker, Lance McCullers had a mishap. They're going to push him back to Game 4 after he threw a bullpen. So that's why Christian Javier is going to start Game 3. We do have one last clip, and this has to do with the Houston Texans, and it has to do with Jack Easterby. I know some are rolling their eyes at it, but I think it's interesting who was saying this one. Brandon Cooks was asked about Jack Easterby, his relationship with him, and he actually was very complimentary of the now former vice president of the Houston Texans.
It's one thing, you write something and you automatically believe it. But at the end of the day, I know what our relationship was. I know how he treated people, you know, walking around the building and how guys felt about him. I don't get into, you know, what's being said. I go off of the action that's been dealt with me or people around me. And when I see that, he treated everyone with the utmost respect. And that's all I got to say.
It doesn't seem like that was the relationship that he had with every single player. I think the fact that Cooks had played with the New England Patriots before perhaps meant that he and Easterby might have been a little closer because they weren't seeing Easterby in an escalated role. And sometimes the relationship that you have with another person in a place where you don't have as much power at a job, you're going to have that same relationship with that person because he knows you as that person knows you as that person too. But then you go to a different place, you have different relationships with all the new people along the way. Easterby, I imagine, maybe was a bit of a difficult person to vibe with. I hear that from Cooks. I don't know if there's been actual rumors out there about Cooks potentially being moved, but this Lovie Smith-Casario era of Texans football, specifically this year, he does not feel like he is a fit. I mean, he's not getting a lot of targets. And if he is someone that maybe like Jack Easterby, I wonder if it's possible that they would shop him around the trade deadline. That's it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in to. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Battery Chucker. Lovey is like, is that who was saying all the Bible verses in my headphones during the game? Twitch.tv/ESPN975. It could have been Jack. It could have been. Harry's tuna on the Twitch. We going to pray on this. Coming up next, our thoughts on the ALCS going forward. And we played a couple of wines by the New York Yankees earlier today about the weather and the Astros' use of Geostorm. And, of course, the fan who ran out to midfield and gave Jose Altuve a buzzer, allegedly. We're making that story up, the latter one. But there's another guy who bitched and moaned about the Astros and the advantage that they had last night in the dome that was no longer a dome. You'll hear from him next right here. It's the Paul Gallant Show live from Circa Resort and Casino. Don't go anywhere.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Brian McDonald doing a fantastic job at Mission Control back in Houston. We are at the Circa Resort and Casino. Check that. He was doing a fantastic job until, like, an absolute son of a you-know-what, he decided to play this song coming back in. What? You think I was low on energy? Did you want to piss me off, B-Mac? I'm asking you a question.
Yeah, speak for yourself, B-Mac.
Yeah. It's outrageous. It's unfair. Wow. This is terrible.
I just wanted to pump you up a little bit.
give you some interview on the way out.
You clearly did, B-Mac. Thank you so much. I'm very easy to get going, aren't I? But do you guys have, like, a list of things that you know will piss me off? Like, I know Brian's known me for a while. How about you, Sean? Like, what do you got?
I know there's some buttons to press. I can always go to something Patriots or Tom Brady related.
Oh, yeah. You don't dare.
Bring up trading in Madden. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, I was in a league with B-Mac and a couple other folks, Kyle King and Josh Beard, and they would trade rape the computer. Like, they would basically make – you could trade, like, four tight ends for, like, 20 first-round picks and Tom Brady. Like, I have no idea how they pulled it off and made me angry because I was like, that's dishonorable.
You're respecting the game.
Yes, I did. I felt like there should be some rules in place. Whatever, fine.
We found, a Madden Geostorm. It was very productive.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're in a league with four Jeff Lunos.
You know what? It did feel that way at times. And, you know, I was the New York Yankees. I was the New York Yankees all along. Speaking of the New York Yankees, they are down 0-2 to the Houston Astros after they fell 3-2 last night at Minute Maid Park. A Minute Maid Park without a roof. Here's Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees, when asked about that open roof.
You know, who'd have thought? I think the roof open kind of killed us. I think it's a 390 ball. I think it was like 106 at whatever. And when I went out to take Seve out, we noticed it a lot with Tucker's ball. You know, the base hit he got to right, it kind of looked like it just went and stopped. And then I think Judge's a homer all the time.
Wind was blown in?
The wind was blown, yeah, across like that. So, yeah, I didn't think like he smoked it like no doubter, but it felt like his homer's to right.
It's just so easy for them. I mean, every single chance they get, hey, how do we look more like a bunch of whiny bitches? This is how you do it. Over and over and over again. Here's Luis Severino, who thinks that Alex Bregman's home run off him was lucky and that the pitch he threw was actually a good one.
Does that team really frustrate you that they've had your number for so long and it's happening again?
Not at all. I threw a great pitch. I mean, he hit it at 91. So that's the only thing that I'm going to say. And Judge hit it at 106. Need to go out. So, I don't know. They got luck.
Were you surprised that ball got out?
I mean, I did. I didn't know at the beginning how hard he hit it, but when I saw the iPad, I know the wind was blowing. I mean, that was the only reason that ball got out. I think I make a good pitch in that situation there, you know, and that's it.
I think that the reason he answered it that way is because the person asking the first question essentially asked him, hey, what does it feel like to have the Astros own you? Maybe I should go to the Yankees clubhouse if there's a game six. I don't know if the series is going to last that long, but maybe I should go there and just ask, like, so, got any excuses for this one? Would that get me kicked out of MLB clubhouses forever, Sean Mapes?
I mean, definitely out of Yankees press.
I'm okay with that. I feel like it would be the juice would be worth the squeeze.
At Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you would have to very, not delicately, but you'd have to choose your words carefully to you might be able to trick them into actually giving you an excuse.
I don't even want to ask it in a professional way. I'd just be like,
oh, okay.
Any excuses? That's it.
I'm here for some more loser talk.
Yeah.
Maybe provide us some more loser talk, Aaron Judge.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. We also had another Yankee complain. We didn't play this earlier. It's just incredible, these guys. So, okay, you heard Luis Severino. You heard Aaron Boone. You would think, let's quit while we're ahead. Kyle Higashioka had this to say about Alex Bregman's three-run home run.
How did you feel it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a terrible pitch at all. I guess in a perfect world it could be higher, but you know, he didn't. I think even he'll admit he didn't really hit it well off the bat, but he hit it well enough to get it out. So that's just
what does that mean?
You know how it goes sometimes.
What does that mean? What are you talking about? Baseball players are something else. Pitchers, yeah, it was a good pitch. It got hit into outer space, but it was a good pitch. oh, he didn't really hit it that well. It legitimately hit the back wall of Minute Maid Park. Oh, he didn't hit it that well, though. What are you talking about? Just because he didn't hit it 1,000 miles per hour? This is such a loser organization. They are an embarrassment. I miss them actually being tough and evil and intimidating. They are just complete losers who are owned by the Astros. That's all they ever will be going forward. Excuse, 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 excuse. Someone resurrect George Steinbrenner so he can go have a purge on this team. Because goodness gracious, they are just pathetic, whiny losers. Excuse, excuse, excuse. The Astros Geostorm. And you know what, though? Martin Maldonado actually might have had the smoking gun, you know? And I don't think we have time to play it, but clips out there. Martin Maldonado, I mean, he said, thank God the roof is open. Astros Geostorm tactics. Buzzer given to Jose Altuve at second base by that guy who was on the field. Outrageous. Unfair. That's the Yankee way. Big thanks to everybody, especially the folks at Circa Resort and Casino for setting us up here. If you happen to be in Vegas later today, maybe you're listening online, we're having a happy hour at 5 o'clock at Circa Resort and Casino to hang out with anybody who might be here for the Texans-Raiders game. Big thanks to Brian McDonald back at Mission Control, and of course to Sean Mapes to my left, to the callers, to the texters, to the Twitchers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Go Astros. I'd love to have this one done by our show on Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.